You're listening to Danny David Moore.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
It's Danny David Moore. We're here at Edgar's Cantina. We got Marco Gonzalez with us. Marco, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing well. Preparing to defend the stadium today.
Yeah.
I'm getting myself geared up.
I see that. You got the Not On Our Table
not
shirt.
Not On Our Table.
You're
repping inspired
it.
By
yeah.
you.
Yep.
Yeah,
I love
which
it.
Was
I love it.
Last year, and it's weird to say that I loved the quote from you because it came at a moment of frustration, like mm-hmm. you weren't, but I loved the sentiment you expressed. And I actually thought kind of the idea is the fans have a role to play in those sort of things too. You're our team, and having people come in here every year, I make a point of going to this series because I want to let them hear about it and let them know that it's the Blue Jays fans. They're welcome to be guests here, but it's our home stadium.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. No, I feel the same way. And I mean, as a competitor, I got caught up in the moment a little emotional, which is great. I mean, that's what I hope people respect that and love that about me, because that's what's gotten me here is my emotions, my ability to compete. And so I wasn't happy. I wasn't happy with the way that we showed out and with the way that we played. And so I kind of let everybody know.
You know what? I wasn't happy with the way the crowd showed out either. I was displeased with my performance. I thought that I left some plays out on the field. Like, there were some things that I could have done.
You could have had some heckles.
So I was disappointed in myself as well. I want to have a better showing this year.
All right. Well, it's all about being accountable, so you can start there. So we're good.
What'd your mom say when she heard about the comments?
She still has not heard about them. So
oh, she hasn't. I was just wondering, as a mom, maybe a mom would say, yeah, Marco.
Yeah, I don't know. She doesn't like. She's not dialed into all my post-game comments unless she's, like, at the game or maybe, like, you know, watching, you know, specifically that certain game or something like that. She might watch the post-game stuff, but she's not – luckily, she's not too wrapped up in that, so that's good.
Yeah, I think we talked to you about this before, but you're one of the more candid athletes. It seems like you don't mind expressing your views on just about anything.
Just about anything, we need to clarify, because I'll draw a line somewhere. But yeah, I mean, I love to be honest. I feel like I don't have anything to hide. And I feel like I want that out of athletes that I watch play. I want to hear how they really feel after the game. I don't want them to cut off and be two-faced. I don't like people that are like that.
Okay. Along those lines, have the umpires been terrible this year? I'm only kidding. I'm not going to get you in trouble. But the one game,
Oakland.
Yeah, where you struck the guy out.
Yeah.
The tracer showed at the Emerald Queen Casino. It came up. The pitch was over the plate.
Yeah.
It was not called a strike. And then a home run, then another home run. And you expressed your frustration.
I did. It was one of those things. Obviously, I felt compelled to say that it changed the outlook of the game. It changed the inning. I wasn't so much frustrated with the results for my outing more than I was the result for our team outing. It lost us the game. That inning, that at bat, 3-2, two out pitch. Everybody in baseball knows that that's always a big pitch, no matter what the situation is. So, a little bit heated, and I heard from the league on that one. So that was good. Maybe I was a little too candid after the game. So
did you get fined?
Oh yeah.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. That's such a weird thing.
They don't publicize that in Major League Baseball, though.
Not like they do in the NFL.
NFL, you find out.
Yeah, they write and tell everybody.
I'll gladly accept that for telling the truth and saying how I felt. So
that's awesome, Marco.
I didn't cuss. I didn't say anybody by name. I thought I was respectful, and I'll pay that fine.
Was Service mad at you? We couldn't tell in the dugout.
No.
So he understood.
I hope so.
Yeah.
It's interesting you say that in talking about paying a fine after telling the truth, because I feel like pro athletes in some ways have this tough duty of everybody sees your performance, everybody scrutinizes your performance, mm-hmm. everybody's, and then when you speak your mind, there's also this, well, I don't know if you should have done it that way, that there is, it can be hard to express kind of how you really feel. And then sometimes when you do say how you really feel, then they're like, well, we don't really want you to say it that clearly.
Yeah, I think, you know, people want to hear how you feel until you say how you feel. And then, like you said, they kind of backlash you for that. So, I mean, I guess it just pays to be, you know, as honest and real as you can be. And if people don't like it, then I guess you can't please everybody. I got a family and a wife and a dog at home that loves me, so I'll be all right.
I think also the long term of how people feel about you and know you as a player, that those sort of things, you look at Charles Barkley, like that's a guy who has made an entire career out of just being himself and being truthful and those sort of things. And I actually, there was one of his old coaches, Paul Westphal, he said, there's a bunch of pro athletes that are jerks pretending like they're nice guys. Charles is the only nice guy that I know that pretends to be a jerk, which is a little bit how Charles acts. I love the fact that you're honest, Marco. I think that's fantastic.
Thank you. Try to be.
What about the we were talking to Ryan Divish yesterday about the pitchers. You know, obviously the hitters like the new ball this year. But what about the pitchers? You don't like the home runs, but what I'm wondering is it harder to throw your pitches with the ball this year?
You know, I'm not sure. I think that's been up for debate among a couple guys that I've talked with. And obviously, you know, we heard Justin Verlander's comments at the All-Star game, and I think I side with Justin. I think, you know, if the balls have changed, I would just like someone to say it and just kind of say, this is what we did, this is why, and this is – it seems weirder that no one's –
It's pretty obvious, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and it seems weird that no one's like said anything about it. So I would just like some clarity for people to be honest. That'd be cool. So
well, I mean, one of my kids had a ball from last year and a ball from this year, mm-hmm. and there's a noticeable difference with the seams.
Sure. Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you.
Does it change how you pitch?
I try not to let it to. Mm-hmm. I think we've been good about it this year. I mean, we've been using the same ball all year. Mm-hmm. So the balls haven't changed midway through. So I've just tried to adapt and try to get really good at throwing this year's baseball. We don't know. It could be different next year. So got to readjust again.
It's interesting. And this is not a question about kind of the baseball or what's going on with it. But the nature of the game's changed. You're seeing mm-hmm. more strikeouts, more home runs, in some cases more walks. But people talking about the three true outcomes.
Yeah.
Does that impact your game plan as a pitcher?
It can't. No. You know, you have to go out and you have to pitch to your strengths, try to find hitters' weaknesses and try to exploit that, and you know, try to get as many outs as you can, however you can. And you know, if they're strikeouts, if they're pop-ups, ground balls, I mean, I don't discriminate. I'll take anything. So I think it's just, you know, you try to just stay within your game plan, try to stay within yourself.
What have you learned about yourself as a pitcher this season?
I've learned that I can adapt and change a lot, and I've had to do that over the past two seasons, I think, start to start even inning to inning. Sometimes teams and hitters will change their game plans. I mean, scouting reports are just as in-depth as they've ever been. So it seems like, you know, facing the Angels every other week, they begin to catch on a little bit. And so you have to just change up what you do and how you do it and try to be the best that you can at doing that.
Do you have fun being a thinking man's pitcher out there?
Yeah, I really do. Especially in an age like we talked about, the game is changing. Guys are throwing harder. It seems like a lot of pitchers just want to be kind of a two-pitch guy with like a wipeout slider and a high-velo fastball. So I love the chess match. I love the battle. I love the setup of a pitch. You know, I think that's kind of a lost art form in our game, and I hope that the starting pitcher doesn't begin to fade away, because I think that's what it's all about.
What's the most satisfying pitch you can throw? Is it striking a guy out? Is it getting, like, what's the moment where you feel the most satisfaction as a pitcher?
Oh, man. I think throwing a fastball by somebody is pretty cool. I think especially when you can get up and in on a guy on a righty or something and throw a good fastball in there. You know, that's a good feeling. Yeah. I like that.
I hope the starting pitcher doesn't go away either.
Yeah.
I can't stand that opener stuff, but I know that they'll show me the numbers and, mm-hmm. and it's worked out. I think the Mariners, when they've used an opener the last month and a half, it's worked out pretty well. But I mean, are you open to that? If somebody came up to you and said, "Hey, Marco, we're going to go with somebody the first inning and then bring you out in the second?"
That's a tough question. We'd have to talk about it. I don't know. For my entire life, I've done it one way, and so it'd have to be a pretty serious talk.
How do you feel like it's gone for you overall this season?
I feel like it's been a little bit of a learning curve, a little bit of up and down, but I've been challenged to just staying in my lane and controlling what I can control, you know, and going out there. I want to be a symbol of consistency for my teammates, for my coaches, for the fans watching. I want to do it the same way every time and be reliable, so learning how to adapt to that role, you know, be one of the guys that a lot of guys in that clubhouse look towards, that comes with a lot of responsibility. And so I think I'm learning myself to a new level this year in that.
It must be cool, too. And, you know, what does it mean to you that you and Mitch Haniger are seen as core pieces for future Mariner teams that are going to be contending?
I think it's a nice compliment. I think it doesn't mean much until we prove that we are those guys. So, you know, through this time of change and everything that we're doing, I think, you know, us staying true to ourselves and, you know, if we can back it up, then that's huge. That's what I'm working towards now.
Jim, how would you feel about having an opener? Mike Salt comes to you and says, you know, for the first half hour, we're going to have somebody else start the show.
That'd be fine with me. If they feel like I'm going to be better in the last 2.5 hours, but generally speaking, you know, I come out on fire. So I don't really feel like that'd be a good strategy in sports radio. And I hate it when it comes to watching these games, too, because I always think about the starting pitcher thinking, well, wait a minute, am I chopped liver or something? You don't think I can get through a lineup 3 times? Well, who do you think you are? That's the way I would feel about it.
It's also just kind of tough that you prepare and go out there one, and then you don't know when you're going to start. Like, as a starting pitcher, you have control over, I'm going to warm up here because I know I'm going to throw my first pitch there. What have you, kind of the team, I think the expectations, people knew what the Mariners were in for this season. How have you guys sort of kept your spirit camaraderie in the clubhouse?
I think not letting outside noise get in. It kind of starts there. You know, a lot of people want to define what this year is for us. But for us, we're just baseball players. We go and do our job. We go take BP. We go throw the ball around. We go and compete. We can't worry about what everyone else is going to say about how they expect us to be or whatever. Projections have been the most misleading thing that I could ever read in my career. As far as this player's projected here, this player's projected to be drafted here, this, and this. That doesn't mean anything until you show up and play. So I'm all about that. If we can get a group of guys to be that mindset for years to come, we got good things ahead.
Do you worry about the future of the game at all? I'm just wondering because I love baseball. I'll watch baseball, and even if you got launch angles, home runs, strikeouts, whatever, the new game, the shift, everything, I still like baseball. But I wonder about guys your age, and you're hanging around with guys that play baseball and are into the sport, but do you think about that at all? Because attendance is down, ratings are down. Is that something that's on your mind at all, and what can be done about it at all?
I think the 12-year-old version of me might be a little disappointed, I think, of where the game's been going. I think I've grown up competing in this game one way. We've built a feel off of experience, and, you know, you only get better by playing and practicing more and doing all this stuff. You can't predict what's going to happen on a baseball field. And so for me, I think it kind of the numbers game kind of undermines that in a way, and I think we're heading in a direction of we're losing our feel of what baseball really is.
So you'd like to see more balls in play?
I'd like to see it if they're on the ground. Or like a jam shot, like pop up, I'm in.
I'm known for asking dumb questions.
Yeah, so don't barrel me up, though. I don't like that.
All right, you mentioned you have a dog. What kind
of
dog?
And he's a Bernedoodle, a mix between a Bernese Mountain Dog and a poodle.
No kidding.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he's got a ton of energy then?
He's no. He's totally calm. He's kind of just does whatever we do. He's kind of
really?
We walk around. He's active if we want to be active, but he's chill.
What's his name?
Louis. Yeah.
Curly hair from the poodle?
Yeah, a little wavy hair, and he's like a mini little Bernedoodle.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Bernese Mountain Dog, mini guy.
How you feel about that, Jim?
I think it's great. I have a golden retriever at home.
Okay.
But a Bernese Mountain Dog is probably my option number 2. I would love to have one of those.
How about a golden doodle?
A golden doodle might do that too.
Those are good too.
You don't have the shedding.
Yeah.
So
that's huge. That's huge.
Should I ask Marco the question that I've been waiting to ask him?
About bark?
Yeah. I do a podcast about dogs. You think you'd maybe listen to it at all?
Sure.
Would you? I asked Tom Murphy that, and he said no.
Oh, well, Tom, yeah, he's kind of crazy.
Is he?
I don't know.
Yeah, he's doing cartwheels in the
dugout. What do you talk about?
We talk about pet insurance, whether you should get pet insurance or not. We talk about dogs that have cool jobs, like the Seahawks have Turf, a chocolate lab over there. Uh-huh. And in Boise State, there's a dog that goes to get a kicking tee. In Las Vegas, there's Finn the Bat Dog that goes out and gets bats and brings them back.
They used to have a pig.
I'm way in on that.
Are you?
I'm in.
All right, Marco.
Yeah.
I'm looking for a sponsor, too. Could you help me with that?
I could try to find a guy.
Rover.com. We talk about dog-friendly workplaces and trying to get dog walkers. How's this interview going?
Well, the pet insurance, I'll admit, like when you brought pet insurance,
seems
I got
like that
sleepy.
Took a turn.
I got sleepy there. But the dog's doing jobs. That seems somewhat interesting. And then you started talking to this Rover.com stuff.
Yeah.
And I had no idea what you
All right. Well, let me bring it back to baseball. Players weekend.
Yeah.
You guys having fun with that?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's just a fun time to be able to feel like we have control of the game for a weekend. You know, we kind of do us. We play, you know, the way we want to play. We kind of show up with some attitude. It's kind of fun.
Seeger's got a very creative nickname on his jersey.
You know, really groundbreaking news there. Seeger just, you know, being all sorts of personality showing. I was surprised he didn't go with Corey's brother again.
Which was a good one.
He should have rode that wave as long as he possibly should, and he really missed out there.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned.
It was a good branding opportunity.
Absolutely. Yeah. Or like Crew's dad or something. Like he should have kept going naming every family member and what he is to them. That's what he should have done.
It's a great
He's
idea.
He's the only guy doing it, so yeah. Why not keep doing it?
Black uniforms?
Yeah.
For the whole weekend?
I guess.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you excited about that?
I am. Yeah. Yeah, I think the black uniforms will look good.
Yeah.
Some guys have worn the vests this year. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
The Reds had them.
Yeah.
And then a lot of players wore them without sleeves underneath.
Yeah, you can't do that.
No?
That's a bad look.
I don't know. I kind of liked it.
Well, you don't have to wear them.
This is a very fair point. Gamble last year, I think, had one on.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm way on the Back to the Future night we had where we went sleeveless. That was cool. But if you're going to wear a throwback jersey, put some sleeves on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably a fair point.
I mean, we don't get enough sun on these arms to be wearing sleeveless anyways, so.
True.
I want to see you hit again.
Yeah, me too. I don't get to do it enough though.
No.
I don't get to prepare enough. That's the problem. That's the issue that we face. Because we can't come out here and hit BP when you haven't been hitting BP all year, you're going to hurt yourself. So, the fact that you have to go in dry, that's a issue of mine for sure.
Yeah, you got to pitch at Wrigley.
Tell service.
Got to work out the rotation so that you get the start at Wrigley so you can bat.
All right.
Marco's going to go in there. Hey, Scott, I just talked to this guy out in the outfield.
Yeah.
He was bringing up the idea of an opener, but how about getting me in the rotation at Wrigley? Let's get that done.
Last year, I was taking hacks in Coors Field in the tunnel getting ready for a pinch hit AB, and that would have probably been the most magical moment of my career, but it was shortened. The inning ended, and it was a buzzkill.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah, because you're a Rockies fan. Or you were.
Yeah.
Wikipedia said you were.
Oh, okay. So that's true.
No.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I was just ready to rock.
That would have been great.
And the bat got taken out of my hand, and I've been pissed ever since. So
should be.
Because in college, what'd you hit, like 400 or something?
310.
Yeah.
Won the John Olerud Award, right?
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
That was awesome. Well, if you see some guy at some point at T-Mobile Park here with a sign that says, let Marco hit, it's going to be me.
Okay.
Get a bat in your hand at some point.
All right.
Marco, we really appreciate your time, man.
I appreciate you guys having me on. It's been a blast, as always, so I'll look forward to the dog podcast.
Yes. And
cool. It's called Bark.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. I'll send you a link.
And this
send
weekend,
me a link.
Yeah. Yeah. And this weekend, not on our table.
Don't do it.
5 o'clock refresh brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light. We are here at Edgar's Cantina. Our Fridays are brought to you by Greg's Japanese Auto. You look sheepish.
I'm just sitting there going, yeah, I'm going to. Well, I was thinking two things. Send him a link. I don't know how to send him a link. Like, I mean, I know how to send a link, but I wouldn't know what his email address is or how to get it to him. And then can you imagine, I mean, if he actually actually got the link, do you think he'd sit there and go, oh, yeah, I remember talking to that guy out at Edgar's Cantina, and okay, I'll download this sucker and listen to it.
Well, first of all, you're on Twitter, right?
Yeah.
He's on Twitter.
I could at him?
You could use that communication. You would you would at him. That's correct, Jim. That's exactly what you would do.
Okay.
The other thing is Marco's going to be a key for someone to win two tickets to next Thursday's Seahawks game. All you have to do is call in 206-421-3776 and tell us what breed of dog Marco owns. In tribute to Bark, which the second season debuted this week, right? Stitcher or wherever
you get
podcasts.
Have you read the live read yet? There were live reads earlier today. I heard Clayton reading it.
Yeah.
Did you skip over that?
I haven't done it yet, but
I think you got a pretty solid bang for your buck in that interview there Bark promotion.
I think given that you ask every guest who comes on about Bark.
I don't do it very often, but it was released Wednesday, which is this week. And
I would actually.
I'm normally not into self-promotion because I don't really like that, but I.
What's your email address?
I like dogs.
What's your email address?
Jim Moore, the go-to guy at yahoo.com.
But you're not into self-promotion.
Well, you asked me a question.
Well, I'm just pointing out that for someone who's not into self-promotion, it seems like your email address is pretty tied into your identity.
Whatever, Danny. I suppose. I want Bark to make it. Here's the thing with Bark. I just really enjoy doing it, and I would like to see it continue because I've had fun doing it. And it also, believe it or not, helps me with this show because I have to host Bark by myself, and I'm not that great at, well, it's not like I'm great as a sidekick either, but I, you know, it helps me do a solo show, and I just enjoy doing it. There's Kevin Mather, by the way.
Is that how you think of yourself as? Is the sidekick?
Well, yeah, when I started out with Calabro, yeah.
Right, but not now.
Well, it's not like I'm the main host. I'm just kind of a, yeah, co-host.
We are all really part of this.
You are first among equals.
All right. Fair enough. And as long as we're into self-promotion, the golf show returns on Sunday.
By the way, if you go to Jim's Facebook profile, it says sidekick on the Kevin Calabro show.
We're going
to
talk to Rex Hogarth from the Golf Channel and Fred Funk, who's the leader at the Boeing Classic. Boeing Classic is underway, and Fred Funk is the leader. He shot 64 today out at Snoqualmie Ridge.
I missed the usual debut of the Senior Open because...
Champions Tour.
Whatever it is. Because they bring him out there, and they hit golf balls into the lake at the Seahawks. It's like an annual promotional event.
Yeah, Brant Jobe was out there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who hit for the Seahawks?
The kicker and the long snapper.
Oh, yeah. That would figure. Those guys tend to be the best golfers that are on there. Hopefully someone was able to nail the breed of dog that Marco Gonzalez had so they can get those two tickets.
Kind of a tough question, though.
Yeah, it was a little difficult.
Mixed breed.
I went an off-speed pitch. I threw him a little bit of off-speed stuff on the outside. There are still some select single-game seats are available. Seahawks.com, they have provided us with the tickets for that.
Are you doing okay with all the Blue Jay fans here?
Sure. They seem very nice so far.
Okay.
No one has commented on the sparse population of the crowd. They have not talked to me about any state of national politics or anything, or just given an overall referendum on our city other than, oh, it's a nice place here. It's just generally what you should do when you come and visit someone's home, correct?
One more, by the way. Did you know, someone texted in to tell us this. Reese McGuire is here with the Blue Jays, Kentwood High School graduate. And I think he's on the team as a catcher. So he's here.
Good for Reese.
So welcome to Reese.
It's back, a little bit of homecoming.
Back home again.
Yeah, Kent Ridge product going to get cheered. Is that where C-Raj went? Did C-Raj go to Kent Ridge? Did he go to Kent Meridian? He went from Kent Ridge. Charger?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're the Chargers.
It's Danny David
Green
Moore. Do you feel a slight affiliation with the Seahawks opponent this weekend, or does that nickname solidarity does not carry on, Curtis?
Does not carry over.
He's fired up, though, because Bear Down's playing Hawaii. Arizona's
right.
playing Hawaii.
Got two
tomorrow.
Games, Miami playing Florida, and Arizona opening with Hawaii. We'll get you set for the Seahawks' third preseason game. That also happens tomorrow. That's next on Danny, Dave, and Moore.
This is Danny, Dave, and Moore.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
Our broadcast from Edgar's Cantina here at T-Mobile Park is brought to you by Greg's Japanese Auto. Really fun to talk to Marco Gonzalez. The Mariners getting set to host the Toronto Blue Jays to begin a three-game set here. Mariners have played good baseball. 1-6 out of their last nine. The Seahawks, this is the last weekend before football gets underway in earnest. We know the Huskies are going to be starting Jacob Eason when they host Eastern Washington next weekend. The Seahawks, they've got a game on Saturday, and then they'll play the final preseason game, which is really just for the final few roster competition spots. Most of the major decisions will be done by then. And then you'll have the Cougs getting underway as well. This is kind of the last weekend before football begins in earnest.
I was just sitting here. I was talking to some people about 8 days away from Husky football and Cougar football. The Cougs playing New Mexico State, and happen to notice we're 33-point favorites, and it's a night game there, and Jessamyn will be back on the sidelines, and it'll be fun. You'll be chasing after Mike Leach again.
Go Cougs.
Go Cougs. And, you're right. I mean, the game on Thursday against Oakland, I think there'll be some interest. We'll still see, probably have the backup quarterback battle still open, and maybe Paxton Lynch will get some time. But for the most part, you're right. They're going to have everything figured out after tomorrow night's game against the Chargers.
Gary Jennings has a lot on the line. Rookie wide receiver, the guy who was the most consistently productive, had the best body of work of the three receivers that they drafted, and so far, frankly, has generated the least amount of buzz of the three rookie receivers that they drafted over the first 3 weeks of this training camp. And he's got an opportunity with David Moore out. with a shoulder injury that's expected to sideline him up through the starter. He's not expected to be ready when the season begins. DK Metcalf is, they're hoping he's going to be back soon, but he's not going to be playing here. This is an opportunity for Gary Jennings to stake a claim to a spot.
Yeah, he really needs to, but with the injury to David Moore, I think that that really helped him. And it, again, you don't want to see that happen to one of your teammates, but Gary Jennings, I don't think, needs to have just some huge breakout game tomorrow night, but you'd sure like to see him. He's only had three targets, no catches to this point. He had the one good practice last Monday, and people were raving about him then, and mentioned earlier about looking at his numbers at West Virginia. You would have expected more from Gary Jennings at this point, being a fourth-round pick, and seeing that he 2,000 yards in receiving at West Virginia the last 2 years, 14 touchdowns, thinking that maybe he'd be the guy that would take over for Baldwin, but you haven't really seen it yet, although I don't think it's make or break for Jennings because of the injury to Moore now.
The injury to Moore, depending on what it means, Brady Henderson at ESPN.com has reported that he doesn't think it will require surgery, that according to a source, that it doesn't think that surgery is necessary. Pete Carroll said, hey, we don't know when he's going to be back. We'll tell you when we know, which is usually translation as he's getting more tests done before they make a decision on how to treat it. It's serious enough that he is not expected to be ready when the season opens. But if he's a situation where he's banged up, but he's on the active roster and they're planning on getting him back, that might not help Gary Jennings because it's still a receiver spot ahead of him on the roster if they're going to save that spot for Moore.
Yeah, what do you think about the whole, you look at the receivers and the different candidates they have there, and it, on the surface, it looks pretty deep. You like what you have there, and yet when you look at it in a different way, it might be a weak spot on the team.
You have options, but you don't have a great deal of depth.
No, I know. You look at it and you go, well, okay, well, I hope they can continue to run the ball the way they have, because really, you got Tyler Lockett. He's the only one you can count on. DK Metcalf now coming off this minor knee surgery, and he's supposed to be ready for game one, but what have you seen from him this preseason? I mean, you've seen the great abs and you've seen one catch. And then after that, Jerron Brown, and now he's your number two receiver, and what, he 14 catches last year or whatever it was, 5 touchdowns, so that was good. But I just I wonder about, I like all these guys, but I just wonder that once it starts for real, if it might be a weakness for the team.
It's a very real possibility that when they start the game on Saturday, your top three receivers are going to be Tyler Lockett, and then Jerron Brown, and then Malik Turner, with Gary Jennings as your fourth option and John Ursua.
You think Malik Turner is...
Yes, I think Malik Turner is very much a consideration.
So you think he'll make the team then?
I think that he's in a fight with Gary Jennings. I'm not sure how it's all going to shake out, and I think some of that's going to depend on David Moore's health.
What about Jazz Ferguson?
I think Jazz has got to do a lot. I think Jazz has got to do an awful lot to earn a roster spot, because he's not a natural fit for the special teams roles that they like their backup receivers to play. And he's someone who, as productive and as good as he looked in the first preseason game, we've seen before that preseason catches, that's not what they're measuring their receivers on. When Kaysen Williams didn't make the team several years ago, I think that spelled it out pretty quickly, that the criteria of you being able to catch balls on the sideline in the preseason, that's not what they look for. That's not the main criteria of how they choose positions. I think Jazz Ferguson is a great prospect for the practice squad. I think he's an outside shot to make the team.
So who do you have? Do you have him keeping 6?
I have him keeping 6 right now, and I think that that depends on exactly what they do with David Moore. And if they don't keep David Moore, I think you could see him keep 5. If David Moore ends up having to go to injured reserve, ends up needing a surgery, I think you could see it go to 5.
You were saying earlier you'd like to see Russell Wilson out there a little more, maybe to.
I want to see him throw to guys.
Jennings.
Yeah, Jennings and Malik Turner. I would. And then you started talking about what it would seem like if your quarterback got hurt and how dumb you would feel and how tough it is for Carolina watching Cam Newton walk around in a boot. And you're absolutely right. That would be terrible. Yeah, but yeah, I want to see Russell throw to those guys. I want to get a
keep
chance
him out
to
there for an entire half.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a problem with that.
You want to see Penny start?
Yes, I want to see Penny get 10, 15 carries.
I do too.
Probably won't.
I don't want to see Carson out there at all tomorrow night.
Yeah, I would agree with you with that. On defense, if Gary Jennings is the guy with the most to gain here, it's Leno Hill on the defense.
Mm-hmm.
It's a guy that's a former third-round pick. He's in his third year. He's had some opportunities to play. He got a slow start because of the injuries that he's had both over the offseason and when training camp began. And he is at a spot where They have it's not just options. They do have some depth. Marquise Blair has a bruise on his back right now, but you're talking about Shalom Lawani, Deshaun Shedd, and that's not even getting into the top tier guys like Tedrick Thompson and Bradley McDougald who are there. And Ugo Amadi has got to be a consideration at that spot as well, because while he's playing some nickel cornerback, he's also a safety.
Yeah, and it's Hill is kind of up against it, and it was we were talking about it earlier, where Hill drew a lot of praise from Pete Carroll at the end of the season last year, and but he hasn't been able to get out on the field because of the off-season surgery that he had. So he's got to get up to speed in a hurry tomorrow night. Hopefully he'll have a good game and make the decision tougher for the coaches. You know, the other spot, Danny, that Bears watching is the nickel corner spot, and Jamar Taylor is starting there tomorrow, and it'll be between Taylor and King when they play Cincinnati to see who mans that spot.
Do you know who this is hitting at batting practice? Some left-handed hitter from the Blue Jays is just cranking home runs. It's actually pretty impressive. We'll get back to you on that and find out what else we learned. That's coming up next on Danny, Dave, and More.
Wow, you sure know a lot of stuff.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
It is time to find out what we've learned. It's brought to you by Carter Volkswagen. I just dunked on Dave. Dave's not here, man.
Wait, he's so not. How'd you dunk on him? Because you did the thing.
The thing with the thing.
Dave's not here, man.
Dave's not here, man. Dave's in L.A., man.
Yeah, Dave, the TV star tomorrow night with
he's
Kurt Menefee.
He's on the TV side. Kurt Menefee, yeah. One of the nicest guys in the world, I think.
Wyman better be careful. Joel McHale might Wally Pip him.
Yeah, he could. I can't wait to see Dave's fake smile on TV. I always enjoy that.
It's not fake.
It's so mean of you to say.
What? I'm going to take my shots when he's not here.
I'm going to tell him everything he said.
Jess,
go Monday.
Jess, what did we learn?
Oh, we learned a lot today, starting with the fact that Corey Guerin's pitching can change a man. Anytime that he pitched in a game that was on before our show,
no.
And we went on, when
you know
that
what?
Game ended, you were thrilled that Corey Guerin was on the mound.
Because it took, well,
because he'd eat an hour of our show.
He'd eat an hour of our, yeah, but when I'd rather be talking and giving insight and analysis here on the show than watching Corey Guerin pitch. I just did not enjoy watching him.
Let me get my Wayback Machine to the sports pitch.
Is that true?
See if I can.
Like, you would rather
you
talk than
that.
Watch him pitch?
Did you like watching Corey Guerin pitch?
Not particularly, but I don't mind talking.
Did you?
You hate talking.
Yeah, you hate talking.
No, I like talking.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I actually don't
It's my job.
I do not take
that,
issue
It is
with
your
pitchers.
Job. I don't know if you would say that you love talking. Let me ask you some questions. What would you rather do? Talk for an hour on the radio? Watch Husky football?
Talk for an hour on the radio.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What if they're losing?
That's not true.
The Huskies are losing?
You watch Husky games all the
then
time.
Watch the Huskies losing.
Yeah, yeah. You're an unreliable narrator.
Do you
there.
Have any more questions?
What would you?
So what am I supposed to say? Like, I mean, we have bosses that occasionally listen to this show. Like, what am I supposed to say? You know, I really don't like talking, even though it's a sports talk show.
Yeah, Jim, you've been so quiet about that.
I mean, come on.
To this point.
Come on. Yeah, I don't like talking, even though it's my job. I'm grateful for this job. I knock on wood, and I just am. Yeah, I'm so thankful every single day to work with such nice people like you
Why'd
guys.
Why'd you have to knock on wood, Jim?
I just think when you sit there and tell people that you would rather do your job as hosting a radio show instead of watching Corey Guerin pitch, most people would say, let me watch the person pitch rather than do work.
I just didn't really like Guerin.
You just didn't like the look of him?
No, I just...
He got married at City Hall. That was something
He's
in his
favor,
right?
He's probably a really nice kid, but... Yeah,
was
the Yankees
the
have enough. You know, we get to watch Guerin again this week.
Well, that's true.
The Yankees are here Monday through Wednesday.
Guerin's so slow, he's going to get to New York and then have to turn around and come back. That was a terrible joke.
Yeah.
Well, that's what you're known for.
Yeah, that's true.
No.
Very on brand. What else we learned, Jess?
We also learned football analysis 101 from Joel McHale.
How do you think the battle for those wide receiver spots is shaping up?
Oh, it is. Woo! It is shaping up. Am I right or am I right? See what I did there, guys?
No, you're right. It's
got a lot of shape to it.
I feel like, though, a lot of sports analysts just kind of go, well, you know, this is the National Football League. I hear a lot of guys do that. They're like, this is the National Football League, so they got to step up because this is the time. And, you know, they really got to distinguish themselves. And if number 66 and 61 don't get that, then, boy, they're going to have a rude awakening. See, I said nothing.
That's pretty good.
I had a guy that I worked for when I was in high school. His name was Lloyd Organ, which I always thought was an awesome last name.
Organ?
Yeah, Lloyd Organ.
Like a kidney?
A pharmacist or a heart. I did landscaping work for him. And he told me about, he won a bet when he was in the military that he could, for one day at, I want to say it was in San Diego, but he was in the Navy, that he could walk around the shipyard for an entire day with the same board on his shoulder. Like, never put the board down. He would just look like he was busy all day and do nothing. Do absolutely nothing without anyone ever asking him what he was doing, simply because he was walking carrying something.
He's probably right.
And he won the bet.
I like that.
Could you do a broadcast as a color, like the color commentator, without ever saying anything of any substance? Like, without ever giving an opinion or saying anything other than, that's really important. This is the kind of play that he's going to have to make if not making any judgment about anybody, saying nothing.
Yeah, I think we'll hear that from Joel tomorrow night.
We're going to do this. Yeah. We're going to do this.
Yeah, see if you can go through it. Like, I gave you, I said nothing for that entire 10 minutes.
Yeah, we're going to do this, and we're going to film it, and we're going to put it online, and people can watch it because I want to see it.
Yeah.
We'll switch roles. Anyway, finally today, we learned from Marco Gonzalez that he's okay with less balls in play.
You know, you only get better by playing and practicing more and doing all this stuff. You can't predict what's going to happen on a baseball field. And so, for me, I think it kind of the numbers game kind of undermines that in a way. And I think we're heading in a direction of we're losing our feel of what baseball really is.
So you'd like to see more balls in play?
I'd like to see it if they're on the ground. Or like a jam shot, like pop up. I'm in.
I'm known for asking dumb questions.
Yeah. So don't barrel me up, though. I don't like that.
Yeah, I probably should have phrased that question differently, or maybe not even asked it altogether. But yeah, I enjoyed talking to Marco.
He's got a point there. He basically was saying that it's gotten so scientific that they've gotten away from the feel of how to play the game. Sort of age-old traditions and those sort of things.
Yeah, that's, you were talking about that article in USA Today, I think it was, and Lou Piniella chimed in on that, too, where I thought it was kind of funny. He goes, yeah, I managed 3,400 games. I think I won quite a few of them without having a shift and all these different things. So, yeah, we'll see what happens with baseball, though. I think next year they're going to change the ball back a little bit, or at least modify it, because it's pretty clear that the record for home runs is going to be obliterated this year. They probably have already hit more home runs than they ever have, and they still have a month and a half left in the season.
If you want to put more balls in play, make it harder to hit home runs. It's not just the balls that will stay in the park. It will change the way hitters approach it. If it's tougher to hit home runs, you're going to have guys that start going the other way more and start doing things and hitting in a more traditional sense rather than, I'm going to try and hit over the shift. Because if it becomes a lesser percentage chance of hitting a home run, guys will adjust their approach.
It's so funny to me because just growing up and for all the years I've followed baseball, you're trying to hit line drives.
Yep.
You used to be able, it was like, hit a line drive. You know, hit a line drive up the middle, whatever. You know, go up the middle with it. And now that's not the case anymore. It's kind of a launch.
Do you remember how Griffey would explain he didn't have a home run swing?
Yeah, he always said that. He never felt like he was a power hitter.
So funny.
Yeah.
It's like, guess what, Ken? You're a power hitter. Yeah. You hit a ton of taters.
He's going to be doing, the national broadcast?
Yes.
I think Monday night when the Yankees are here.
Correct. When the Yankees are here. It'll be fun to hear him.
Yeah.
I love Ken Griffey Jr.
The best.
Oh.
Best
so
ever.
Much, so much. Well, you think he's better than Willie Mays, and you actually saw Willie Mays play.
I did see Willie Mays, and I think Junior was a little bit better than Willie Mays.
It's awesome. That's going to do it for us. We want to thank, we had a number of guests today. Joel McHale joined us, Marco Gonzalez. We also talked to Ryan Roland Smith.
On the TV call tonight.
Yeah, Ryan Roland Smith going to be.
With Dave Sims.
It'll be exciting. Dave Wyman's going to be on the TV call tomorrow night for the Seahawks game, which you can also hear right here on 710 ESPN Seattle. Jessamyn McIntyre is our producer. Brenna Hutchison is our engineer on site. She did a fantastic job. Curtis Rogers in the studio. We'll talk to you guys Monday at 3. Danny, Dave, and more.